T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
NFL reporter Andy Benoit with the Bull and the Fox. Andy, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Not bad, man. We're selfishly, and not even selfishly, because I think the fans are happy too. I know a lot of people thought it might be a bad look, but with everything going on in the country, as sad as this is, as scared as people are, with all our sports being canceled, the fact that you could do all these transactions and give us all something to talk about, have some fun with in the middle of this, I think it's great. I'm glad. I thought it was a bad idea originally last week, but I'm glad the NFL has done this. What do you think?
I agree with you. My line of thinking has followed exactly how you outlined it right there. So I've enjoyed today, and I'm 100% on the same page with you there.
Let's start with some of the moves that have happened, because it's already been a busy day. Let's start locally for us, Andy. The Browns get busy early, signing Austin Hooper, 4 years, $42 million. We know Kevin Stefanski ran 12 personnel more than almost, I think, all but one team in the NFL last year, and that Baker, especially in 2018, was highly successful with that formation. What do you think of that move by the Browns?
Yeah, I think that explains a big part of it. I understand why they did it, and Stefanski does like to keep what they call base personnel on the field, 12 personnel in this case, one back, two tight ends. He also ran 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end. He ran that as much, if not more, than anyone in the NFL. I think he's behind Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco there. But that's what they want to do. They want to – really what Stefanski wants is the passing game to come out of the running game. And so play action, also throwing the ball out of run formations, having throwing the ball on first and second down, you get predictable coverages when you do that, in large part because the more run possibilities you put on the field, the more possible run plays you present, the less the defense can do in coverage because they have to honor those runs. So it's their approach. It makes all the sense in the world. You know, we could talk about the money with Hooper, but that's the nature of signing free agents. Mm-hmm. Bottom line was the Browns felt they needed a tight end, and they got the, I think, one that many feel is the best available on the market.
Yeah, I'm with you, Andy. I think they probably overpaid, but the market dictates what the price is going to be, and so you have to pay what you have to pay. The Browns don't really have a good tight end on the roster. I think David Njoku, you know, he could stay or go. I'm not sure what they decided to do with him. He had some issues last year off the field as well. So in terms of character, they got to make that call. But I'm happy that they made that move. What move should they make next, though, is the question. I mean, they've got so many holes, Andy, on defense. You know, they've let many linebackers go. It seems like Schobert's going to sign somewhere else. Of course, Kirksey signs today with the Packers. So you have two linebacker spots you've got to fill. Morgan Burnett is released today with, one of the safeties. So now you've got two safety spots, basically, and two linebacker spots. Those are huge holes.
Yeah, they are, and it's right up the middle of your defense, and those are big positions for the way, you know, we don't know exactly how Joe Woods wants to play, but their passing game defensive coordinator, Jeff Howard, came from Minnesota. Woods has that background in him as well, and in that scheme that the Vikings have run, it's always been two deep safeties, and the interchangeability and disguisability of those guys is critical. And the other part that I thought really defined Minnesota's defense last year was the play of their linebackers, Kendricks and Barr, especially Kendricks. So those are important positions in this scheme as well. The other thing you have to always remember with these free agent moves is what kind of draft do we have with these guys? I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is a good example. He just gets traded today. Everybody says, well, how can you do that? One factor in that is we're hearing it's maybe the deepest receiver class ever in the history of the NFL draft, or certainly in recent memory. Those kinds of things, and even what the receiver class for next year looks like, Those kind of things can factor heavily into some of these decisions that teams make. So if the Browns don't sign a linebacker or don't sign a safety, that doesn't mean they're unaware of the need. It just means that there's other avenues to go down and approach this plan. But I'm with you. They need multiple guys at those positions.
We're talking with Andy Benoit, NFL reporter. Andy, let's talk about one of the Browns' rivals here, the Ravens. Two big trades in the last 24 hours. Hayden Hurst shipped to Atlanta. Calais Campbell acquired for a fifth-round pick. It looks like the Ravens made two great trades. What's your take on those moves?
I think the Campbell one is a very great trade. He is still at the highest level of anyone in the NFL relative to his position. He's not quite Aaron Donald, but he and Baltimore's scheme with the way they move their defense alignment around, and they don't move around in crazy fashion, but they do subtle differences with their techniques and where the guys line up and how they're taught to take on blocks accordingly. Campbell, in that sense, in those finer details, has always been one of the best players in the NFL, and he's a difference-making, demonstrative sack artist too at times. So I love that move. The Hayden Hurst one surprises me a little. I'd be curious to know what else is into that decision there, because playing, we just talked about how important multiple tight ends are for Stefanski. That's equally, if not more important, in Baltimore's offense with the way they play and the way they have these misdirection pieces in their run game and even some of their passing game. I think Mark Andrews is Baltimore's best tight end, but Hayden Hurst as a receiving chess piece was an important player for them last year. So I'm curious to see what else is in store there, because my sense is they'd have to have – they're not just going to give away Hayden Hurst. They've got to have a plan for what they want to do next.
Andy Benoit is our guest. What do you think happens with Odell Beckham Jr.?
If I had my guess, I think he stays on the roster and he's a big focal point in the game plan. And if any coach is equipped to handle someone like Beckham, when I say that, I mean, okay, how do we feature him and understand he's our most dynamic weapon? How do we communicate with him in a way that makes him understand that and makes him understand, hey, the offense is built around you, but we're not going to be able to throw you the ball as often as you want because defenses are always going to double you. All of that goes into the equation of having these top shelf, you can even call them diva receivers if you want. I think there's no coach better equipped to handle that than Kevin Stefanski. He's done a tremendous job with that over the years, and he has no ego whatsoever. I would imagine they're going to keep Beckham, and it's going to go well.
We're talking with Andy Benoit, NFL reporter. Andy, of the other moves that have taken place so far today, we've seen the big – well, let's go to the big DeAndre Hopkins trade. Texans fans seem angry again. They were last year, although the Tunsil trade worked out. What did you think of that trade this year?
I'm surprised by it. I'm definitely surprised because DeAndre Hopkins, and I realize maybe he wasn't quite as productive last year as the year before, but he's still a top five NFL receiver. And his game, he's unique because his game's really not predicated on speed or quickness or even size for that matter. He just wins on jump balls and positioning and understands how to win at the top of a route. And when you're that kind of receiver, it would reason that you tend to age pretty well. You're not, if your speed and quickness dips a little bit, that doesn't mean you're going to be less productive. So Larry Fitzgerald's a good example of that kind of receiver. Now Hopkins goes and plays with Fitzgerald. So I understand why Texans fans are upset, but you know, to look at the other side of it, let's keep in mind if the Texans decide, all right, we don't want to pay him big money over the next 2 years, he's demanding big money. We're hearing now that they're talking about a new contract in Arizona. Then that changes your willingness and what to trade him, and that changes what you would take for that guy. The other thing is the guy who made the trade, Bill O'Brien, he knows DeAndre Hopkins better than any coach or GM in the NFL right now. So inherently, he has more information than any of us have and even what the Cardinals would have. That's just, you know, putting everything on the table. Stepping back, though, I understand why Texan fans are scratching their heads.
Andy Benoit's with us. Andy, where do you think Tom Brady ends up going?
I'd just be guessing at this. I mean, you hear it's between Tampa Bay and New England. I'd almost just be guessing at this point. I'm a little surprised that the market for him hasn't been more robust based on what we're hearing. I'll leave it at this. Brady, you know, maybe he's declining a little bit physically, but when you watch him on film, I saw all of their snaps three times over last year. You'd never once think, hey, the quarterback looks like he's aging. you wouldn't think about Brady's age if you didn't know what it was already. We know he's 42, 43, so we're looking for the decline. You really haven't seen the decline on film. So whoever gets Brady, they're still getting Tom Brady. They're getting the greatest quarterback of all time.
We're talking with NFL reporter Andy Benoit. Andy, we're hearing a lot of rumors about the Bears looking for a quarterback. They've been defending Mitch Trubisky. All this talk of Bridgewater, maybe Andy Dalton, even Nick Foles to a lesser degree, although he seems like more of a backup. Are you buying that they still believe in Mitch Trubisky?
Well, it sounds like they're hedging a little bit when they're looking at those guys. And look, every team understands you need a backup QB, and the Bears learned that last year. Trubisky missed some time, and Chase Daniel, who for a while has been one of the highest paid backups in the league, he stepped in and played nice. I think he played pretty well. In fact, you could argue at times the Bears' offense looked a little better with Daniel in there. So that's why this conversation is taking place. The part you have to keep in mind, though, is when you bring in a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who a lot of people feel can start, I don't think he gets confused for a surefire, top-shelf, high-level starting QB, though he'd be somewhere in the middle tier. That's the perfect formula for a quarterback controversy. So as long as you're willing to deal with that, and that's sometimes you have to, then you can go out and make one of those moves. But you want to be careful about that, because Trubisky, it's a little too early to write him off for good. And you walk that fine line when you bring in a mid-tier type of veteran QB.
Andy Benoit is with us. Andy, what do you think about what the Cowboys are doing with Dak Prescott and giving that franchise tag?
Well, it's, you know, you don't want a quarterback to just walk out the door, because other than this year, this is really the only time I've ever seen any of us have seen a multiple veteran QBs available on the market. So you can't just go find the next Dak Prescott or find the next quality starting quarterback. I think the other part is, if you have Ezekiel Elliott and you paid big money for him, there's no better QB stylistically to run an offense that starts with the running game. There's no one better than Prescott for that, because of the dimension that his legs present. So you can run read option with him. When you run play action and do bootlegs, defenses have to handle that differently and play a little more passively against the run, because they're worried about Prescott keeping the ball. And also, your passing game has more leeway to go off schedule, which tends to happen sometimes with teams that are run-oriented. And I think Dallas, ultimately, that's their best approach, is to be run-oriented, especially if they can't hold on to Amari Cooper. We'll see what happens there. So, you know, what other choice did they have? I mean, if they don't have to deal with Prescott and they can't let him hit the market, because you can't just let your QB go away, they had one choice to make there.
We're talking with Andy Benoit. Andy, the Titans franchise tag Derrick Henry after signing Ryan Tannehill over the weekend. You think they're likely to come to a long-term deal agreement?
Well, I'm sure that's what Derrick Henry would want.
Yeah.
You do have to tread lightly there. I mean, it's not Derrick Henry's fault, but Todd Gurley's deal hasn't worked out. Devontae Freeman in Atlanta didn't really live up to his long-term deal. David Johnson, who just got traded today, the Cardinals regretted that deal. It's this idea
Le'Veon
that you
Bell.
Don't pay. Exactly. So this idea that you don't pay running backs, you know, that idea, that's got some legs to it. So Derrick Henry, we know he's great right now. We also know he's a battering ram style of runner, and a lot of his productivity comes from him getting yards after contact. That is not a trait that you would assume would age very well. Power runners and bowling ball type runners, and Henry's much more than just that, but those style of runners, history says when they hit the wall, they hit it pretty fast and they hit it hard. So if you give him a long-term deal, what do we mean by long-term? 2 years, 3 years? I don't think you'd sign him for more than 3 years. So I understand why Tennessee would just franchise tag him and then kick the can down the road on that.
Andy Benoit with us. Andy, obviously we're dealing with this pandemic with the coronavirus. How has this affected the league? Today they announced that the draft will be not a public event. It's going to be, you know, obviously on television, of course, and things like that. But just, you know, how it has affected free agency with not being able to get physicals right away and the NFL draft. How do you see this playing out?
You know, I think it affects the league on the ancillary levels a lot. And so what I mean by that, the teams that are trying to recraft some of their scheme and get new coaching staffs on the same page, or find guys to fill out the bottom of the roster, undrafted rookies that they're looking at entering this draft, guys that they think they can sign after the draft, all of those things get negatively impacted. As far as what's going on today, though, it's really not that big a difference because, and the league can't say this, but everybody knows it, all this tampering has been going on anyway. I mean, you go to the combine and you'll have coaches from a team say, I got a tampering meeting at 3. I'll see you at 4. Or an agent say, I've got a tampering meeting this night. Can we talk tomorrow? I mean, nobody even hides it anymore. So the tampering has happened over phone and text and email and all that stuff. These guys aren't coming in and visiting teams when they're tampering. So business is almost as usual. It's a little weird after the signings, and you do have the issue of passing physicals. But that's a formality in a lot of cases, not every case, but a lot of cases. So I don't think it's a big deal for what we're dealing with today. And the stuff that is impacted by these teams being separate, everyone working from home, it's frankly not the kind of stuff that we talk about on the radio. It's the boring side of football, important but boring for our standpoint.
And do you think there's a chance – they've already, you know, said they're not going to have the draft in Vegas – do you think there's a it's supposed to be in Cleveland here next year. You think there's a chance they'll move every draft back and give Vegas next year?
That's a good question. I would only be guessing that. I have no idea in the politics of that.
Yeah.
Andy, just real quick. I mean, obviously the president's talking right now, and he's talking about how this is our new norm probably till July or August. How would this affect training camps, you think?
Well,
in the off season, I mean, could the NFL season be pushed back is what I'm asking, I guess.
Yeah, sure. You know, I would it's the same for every team. So we have to remember that. The last time we had a scenario even close to this was the lockout in 2011. And that year, you know, teams showed up at the last minute. They did go to camp. Now, I don't know if, you know, they didn't have to delay training camps that year, but all this other offseason stuff we're talking about did get impacted. And really, once the season started, nobody said anything about it. Nobody noticed. I'm sure it had impacts, but as long as it's, I think most coaches would tell you, as long as it's the same for every team, we can live with that. We would prefer to have access to these guys. We prefer to have more padded practices than what this new CBA is giving us. All of those are just preferences, though. If it's league-wide and it's the same for everybody, then you know the NFL and the people within it, they're going to carry on.
Andy, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.